Welcome to Kinsey Confidential. This is your opportunity to ask questions about sex and have them answered. I'm Dr. Debbie Herbenick, a sexual health educator at the Kinsey Institute at Indiana University. Here is today's question.
I am a 30-year-old gay male. I was diagnosed with HIV and am on medication for it. I also have been taking medication for depression. I've noticed that lately I have more trouble achieving orgasm. I also lost my job and am still struggling to come to terms with having HIV. I'm not sure this is related. Any thoughts would be much appreciated.
I'm sorry to hear about the difficulties you've been facing, including learning that you're HIV positive, losing your job, and dealing with stress and depression. However, I'm happy to hear that your sex life with your partner continues to be pleasurable, even with your orgasmic difficulties, and also that you're resourceful enough to seek out information about your concerns. A number of factors can influence men's orgasm and ejaculation, including certain prescription and over-the-counter medications. Some research suggests that Viagra can help to improve sexual problems caused by antidepressants, and that's one option you can talk with your healthcare provider about. Another option is to ask your healthcare provider about switching to a different antidepressant that is less likely to include difficulty with orgasm or ejaculation as a side effect. However, orgasm can also be challenged by depression, stress, and anxiety, so you might find that you're able to tackle this issue without any changes to your medications whatsoever. There has been a limited amount of research suggesting that regular yoga practice can enhance men's sexual function and can also help many men and women cope with stress, depression, and challenges associated with chronic illness, including HIV and AIDS. Yoga has even been found to help lower blood pressure. If you're open to trying yoga and seeing how it feels for you, it may be a can't-hurt, might-help strategy for several aspects of your life, including depression, stress, and your orgasmic function. Counseling may also be helpful. If you receive insurance benefits through your partner, which I know is often a challenge for same-sex couples, then perhaps you'll have access to counseling services. Counseling services are also often available through HIV service providers or through free or sliding scale clinics in the community. Because talk therapy has been shown to help with depression and stress, counseling may also help in these areas as well as ultimately with your sexual life. There are also, of course, ways to adjust your sex life. Some men find it easier to ejaculate or experience orgasm when they stimulate their penis, scrotum, anal opening, or rectum with a vibrator, particularly more intense ones such as the AccuVibe or Hitachi Magic Wand, which, while often sold as a back massager, is also available through many adult bookstores and websites and is frequently used as a vibrator. Relaxing and breathing during sex may help you to focus on your physical sensations and sexual pleasure so that you can enhance your chances of orgasm. I hope these suggestions are helpful.
You can become a fan of Kinsey Confidential on Facebook and follow updates all week long. That's at facebook.com/Kinsey Confidential or subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. Find out more at kinseyconfidential.org. Our next question.
I recently came up HPV positive. Does that mean I'm going to be HIV positive?
Great question. The fact that the acronyms HPV and HIV sound similar to each other is confusing for many people. Some people worry that they're the same infection. Other times, people may worry that if they have one sexually transmissible infection, or STI, then they'll automatically get another STI. Neither of these are true. The letters HPV stand for the human papillomavirus, while HIV stands for the human immunodeficiency virus. They are two completely different viruses, and there are important differences between them. Most sexually active people are exposed to HPV at some point in their lives. Some estimates suggest that as many as 60 to 80% of American women and men will get at least one strain of HPV during their lives. Although HPV has been linked with serious health problems such as cervical cancer, penile cancer, and oral cancers, most people who have HPV will not have any serious or life-threatening problems related to HPV infection. In fact, it seems that most people's bodies are able to clear signs of HPV infection within 1 or 2 years of getting HPV. That said, if you've been diagnosed with HPV, you should follow your healthcare provider's recommendation for follow-up care. For women who receive an abnormal Pap test result related to HPV infection, this sometimes means having follow-up Pap tests every 3 or 6 months for a while, or as recommended by one's healthcare provider. HIV, on the other hand, is far less common in the United States, although it is more common in some countries within sub-Saharan Africa, as well as in Russia and China. HIV is often known as the virus that causes AIDS. When a person is infected with HIV, he or she typically requires much more frequent and specialized healthcare services than people with other STIs need. HIV, if it leads to AIDS and to serious opportunistic infections, can ultimately contribute to a person's early death. So good healthcare is critical to prevent this from happening. Fortunately, given advances with testing and treatment for HIV, more people with HIV are living longer, healthy, productive lives. You can learn more about both HPV and HIV, as well as testing and treatment information for each, on the website of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, which is www.cdc.gov. You can learn more about this resource and others on our website.
Dr. Debbie Herbenik is a sexual health researcher and educator at the Kinsey Institute. Kinsey Confidential is produced by the Kinsey Institute for Research in Sex, Gender, and Reproduction, in partnership with WFIU Public Media from Indiana University. We need your questions. Submit them through our website, where you can listen to archived episodes of the podcast and read the blog. Find us online at kinseyconfidential.org.